And I want to do something very serious this morning. I hope you don't take this lightly. Is I want to plant a seed in your life this morning. I want to plant a seed in your life. And I want every one of you to hear what I want to share with you briefly. And that is, each one of you is a world changer. Each one of you is a world changer. Okay? I want you to start to see yourself that way as we go through this journey this summer. So I want everybody to say this to yourself. You don't need to say it out loud. But say to yourself, I am a world changer. Okay? And you'll know what that means as we go through this journey this summer. But I want to let you know, God just didn't place you on this earth for such a time as this, for you just to go ahead, do your life without impacting other people. But I want to encourage you today that God has specific plans for you. And God has called you. He has called me. We're all in this together. He's called us to change our world, to change our world. So I want you just to get that. That seed is just going into the ground today. And what we're going to be doing in the weeks ahead, we're going to be watering the seed. We're going to be putting sunshine on the seed. And our goal is in the months ahead that we'll see that seed begin to grow and that you'll begin to see yourself the way God sees you. So many of us, myself included, we need to begin to see ourselves the way God sees us. And I want to let you know God sees you as a world changer, somebody that can make a difference in the lives of other people. You feel that way about yourself this morning? You're a world changer, okay? So everybody say that together. I am a world changer. How many people have a hard time believing that right now? Wow, nobody was going to raise their hand on that one. How many people feel like that right now? I am a world changer. Okay, so let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. And we just thank you that we can gather together with we're sitting next to other world changers that you have brought into this earth for such a time as this. And Father, we just thank you and praise you today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we pray. We are world changers. We are world changers. My heart's kind of broken this morning. My heart's broken because Heather's a world changer. And she's got this little fourth grade girl at school that God has placed in her life for Heather to be a world changer. And it's not only about this girl, but it's about her sister. And by the way, they've both been coming to Awana. Praise the Lord for that. Both been coming to Awana. But today we really expected them to come with their mother, and they didn't. So I'm kind of heartbroken this morning, but at the same time, I know that God's going to continue to use Heather to plant seed, to plant seed, to plant seed, so that that mother, those two daughters, will come to know Jesus. Amen? Because here's the deal. God has placed in our life people that may never, ever come to church, but you're going to be the person that makes the difference because you're a world changer, and you need to begin to see yourself that way. If you would just begin to just get a glimpse of what God sees for you, you'd be amazed. It's big. It is big. So what we want to do this morning is we want to get back to this series that we're calling Back to the Basics. Can we all say that together? Back to the Basics. And actually, the inspiration for our sermon is the next picture. That's the inspiration for our sermon, Vince Lombardi. Remember Vince when the Packers were in a slump? He would pull the guys into the locker room, and he would say, men, what would he say? Everybody together, it was here last week. This is a football. Until one day, one of the linebackers in the back of the room said, slow down, coach, slow down. But this is a football. What's he saying to his players? He's saying, guys, we're losing right now. It's not looking good, but we got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to the fundamentals. And that's what we're doing in this series is we're getting back to the basics, we're getting back to the fundamentals. And if you're taking notes, you can write this in the blank. The goal of this series is to help us. When I say us, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me, I'm talking about us corporately, is to help us get better at the two things that Jesus said mattered most. And by the way, that comes from our message last week, the great commandment found in Matthew 22, to get better at the two things that matter most. And that is what? What matters most? Everybody together, let's go. Next slide. What matters most is, everybody say, loving God and loving people. Loving God, loving people. So we're on this whole journey as a church that's what we're all about. We're going back to, man, the grassroots. We're getting back to just blocking right. We're getting back to just the basics. What does it mean? It means we need to get better at loving God and loving people. Okay? So I want to just pause, and I want to just daydream for a few minutes. Can we dream this morning in church? Let's just dream. Everybody just close your eyes. You don't have to close your eyes. I'll do that part. Oh, let's just dream. Okay, dream. What would it look like? What would it look like if we as a church, individually and corporately, what would it look like if we began to get better about the two things that Jesus said mattered most? What would it look like if you and I, we as a church, got better about loving God and loving people? What would that look like? Everybody open their eyes. Can I suggest that this is what it would look like? I put out these overflow chairs this morning because, not because I thought we were going to need them today, but I really do believe there's going to be a day that we're going to need more chairs. There's not going to be any gaps in the pew if we will get better about these two things. If we as a church will commit together that we will get better about loving God and loving people, I want to let you know there won't be a place to sit in this place. Are you hearing me this morning? Why? Because there's a world crying out for people who really love God. There's a world crying out for people who really love other people. And what would happen if we as a church begin to stretch and grow and get out of our comfort zone, which I know is not easy. There's things that God's stretching me about right now, and I'm fighting it, I'm resisting it, I don't like it, it hurts. But what would happen if we as a church would begin to not just talk the talk, but what would happen if we would begin to walk the walk? And we would be a people that would be known for the two things that Jesus said mattered most. Do you love God? Do you love people? So what we did last week is we looked at part one, and we just briefly looked at this whole piece of loving God. And I really, really thought, even as I was speaking, because a lot of times when I'm talking, I'm also thinking about something else. I'm sorry to admit that, but I do that. And last week while I was talking about loving God, I was thinking, okay, next week we're going to talk about loving people. But I want to let you know I was wrong. And what happened in my preparation time this week, I felt it necessary that we focus one more morning, one more week. Our focus today is going to be on loving God. Loving God. So get ready to go on the journey. And what I want to do today, because this is hard to grasp. We talked about this last week. It's hard. God, how do I love you more? Because the commandment is what? Love the Lord your God, everybody together, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So how do we do that? I know there's a lot of well-intentioned people in this room. We got wonderful people. The best people in this area come to this church. Did you know that? And we're people that, you do. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, you're awesome. Somebody just look at your neighbor. They need a little encouragement this morning. Say, yeah, you're awesome. Come on, Chad. I haven't seen it yet. You're awesome. Let's go. And today we're going to talk about what are two steps that are going to help us to love God better. So what we're going to do is we're going to open the Bible this morning. Everybody say, yay, Bible. And what I want you to do is I want you to begin to look for a chapter 7 of the book of Luke. That's a gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke. You have a few options here. You have the Bible that you brought with you. It could be a hard copy Bible. It could be on your phone. There's a Bible in the pew rack. There's a Bible. The scriptures will be on the screen behind me. And today we're going to look at two keys to loving God more. Two keys to loving God more. Real simple. And today we're going to read Luke 7. We're going to pick it up in verse 36. And we're going to read through verse 50. It's an amazing, amazing story. Some of you may have heard this story before. Some of you, this may be a first time. That's exciting to me if this is your first time hearing this story. Even if it's not, I'm still excited about it. I'm super pumped up this morning. And before we look in the story, I got to give you just a little historical content to really make this story for you to understand it. And that is back in the day when Jesus was telling this story. Actually, it's a true story. Actually, in the day where Jesus was telling this story, it was very customary that if you invited somebody over to your house and you invited them to a meal, one of the very first things that you would do when they would walk into your house, there would be two things that you would do. First of all, you would greet them with a kiss. We won't do that here right now, okay? It was a kiss on the cheek. Second thing you would do is you would have water provided. There would be a basin of water so that you could do what? Wash their feet. See, they're not like us. They didn't have socks. They didn't have shoes, nor did they have paved streets. Many of these people, they traveled either barefooted or with sandals on, and they would travel on dusty roads. So when they showed up at your house, their feet were very dirty. And if to honor your guest, what you would do is you would wash their feet, or you would have maybe even a slave in your house wash their feet. It was an act of honor, okay? So you need to understand that. So let's read the story, and let's have a great time this morning. Is everybody ready to have fun? You say, you betcha. Are you ready to have fun today? All right. Let's pick it up, verse 36. It says, one of the Pharisees, by the way, we're going to find out later, his name is Simon. He asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his house and he sat down to eat. So Jesus is saying yes. Verse 37, there's a little twist in the story. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard that he was eating there, we're told that she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with very expensive perfume. Meaning this was something valuable. This is something that she had worked for. She had labored for. She bought this beautiful perfume. Okay? Then she knelt behind him, knelt behind Jesus at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his what? His feet. And then she got out a nice little towel and she began to wipe off his feet. No, that's not what it says. It says she wiped off his feet with her hair. So a lot of us would have been disqualified from that, by the way. But this woman obviously had long hair. She begins to cry. The tears fall on the feet of Jesus. And she takes her hair and she begins to wipe off the feet of Jesus with her hair. Amazing. Then after that, we're told she kept kissing his feet. And after she would kiss his feet, she would put perfume on his feet. Very humbling act, very honoring act, saying, Jesus, you're the most important thing. Verse 39. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, Simon, when he saw this, he said to himself. So he's not talking out loud. He's thinking this. How many people talk to themselves during the week? I do all the time. It's kind of scary. So he begins to say to himself, if this man, referring to Jesus, were truly a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman is touching him. He would know this woman who's touching him. She's a what? Everybody say it together. A sinner. That's all that guy could think about. He didn't care less about the woman. He said if Jesus was really a prophet, he would know that this lady that's touching him is a sinner. Isn't it amazing how easy it is for us to point out the issues in other people? Isn't it easy to say, wow, look at them. Look at their problems. Look at their issues. Can I invite you in on something? That is, we all have issues. You have issues. I have issues. We all have issues. This woman had issues. She was a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. I think this is where Jesus, we see his full humanity, but we see his divinity also, all wrapped up in one person. Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisees, I have something that I want to say to you, Simon. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus goes on and he's going to tell a story. I love Jesus. He's the ultimate storyteller. I mean, just amazing. And here's the story he tells Simon. A man loaned money to two people. 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them, here's the problem, neither of them could repay this guy. The guy that owned the 500 and the guy that owned the 50. So what did he do? He kindly forgave them both. Wow. What a guy. He said, hey, the debt is canceled. Don't worry about it. Check out Jesus' question. Simon, who do you suppose loved him more after that? So what I want you to do is I want you to stop and look in your notes. I have a question for you to look at. It's also on the screen if you don't have notes. Here's the question, and I want you to answer this before we look in further in the text. Who do you suppose loved this man more after he pardoned the debt? Do you think it was the guy that owned 500 pieces of silver or the guy that owned 50 pieces of silver? Circle one of those and don't look at your neighbor's paper, okay? I want to see if you can handle this one on your own. Here's the answer, verse 43. Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. Ding, 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 ding. Did everybody get that right? Pretty simple, pretty simple. Check out Jesus. He says, Simon, that's right. Bingo, you got it, you nailed it. Then Jesus, he quits talking to Simon directly and he looks at the woman. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman who's kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me any water to wash the dust from my feet, which was very customary in that day. That was the protocol. But Simon, you didn't do that. But she washed them with her tears. And she wiped away the tears with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss. But from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head. But she has anointed my feet with some sweet perfume. Guys, here's the verse that says it all, verse 47. This is where we're going to camp out just a few minutes today, verse 47. Jesus says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many. Everybody say many. Her sins, and they are many. Everybody knew it. They have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. She's like the guy that owed 500 pieces of silver. And that debt had been forgiven. That guy was the one that was in more love. And Jesus is saying, hey, this woman is like that guy. He had this big debt. She had this big debt. Her debt was sin. And it's been forgiven. And as a result of her being a big sinner, she loves much. Everybody say much. But check out this. He says, but a person who has forgiven little, the one that only owed 550 pieces of silver, the one who has forgiven little shows only how much love. Everybody say it together. Little love. So Jesus is saying, hey, this woman's been forgiven much. And as a result, she has a lot of love. She loves me a lot. This guy, on the other hand, he didn't think he was a big sinner. He didn't think he had a lot of issues, so he was only forgiven a little. Then Jesus says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said to themselves, who is this man who goes around forgiving sins? It's Jesus. And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. Okay, this is what I want to do, and we're only going to be about 6 or 7 minutes. This is going to be so good. And it's going to just be like a bullet. It's going to be quick. Jesus is invited to a dinner. He accepts the invitation. And in the midst of the story, there's two primary people. There's two main characters other than Jesus. First of all, we're introduced to a man named Simon. You can write that in your notes, Simon. Okay? Simon, what do we know about Simon? Simon was a Pharisee. A Pharisee. Okay? This meant that he enjoyed a reputation. He had a reputation that he was a godly man. Everybody would say, whoa, a Pharisee, godly man. Not only that, he enjoyed a theological education. He would have been a guy that memorized large portions of the Bible. He would have been a guy that he was very disciplined in spiritual matters. He would be a guy that prayed all the time religiously. He would be praying. I mean, he was a godly man, okay? He would also be a guy that when it came to tithing, he would tithe meticulously. This would be the type of guy that if he walked into our church and he became a member, a regular attender, we would all say, wow, you are the man. You got it together. Meaning on the outside, everybody would have said, wow, you look great. Everything is put together. This guy loves God. Surely he loves God. Look at who he is. Look at all the good things he does. This guy is amazing. This is the first person in the story. The second person in the story is the woman. The thing that amazes me about the woman, we're never even given her name. There's no name attached to her. Her identity is just the woman. Okay, the woman. And here's what we know about the woman. We're going to be very clear today. She had a reputation where she was very sleazy. The Bible tells us that she was a prostitute, meaning that that's the way she would raise her support for life, is she would go and be with other men. She was a prostitute. She was sleazy. Everybody in the community knew this lady by face. Scary thing about it, some of the guys that were probably in that room that day probably knew her a little more better than they should have. You know what I'm talking about. That's the truth of the Bible. And no one would say, this is a servant of God. No one would look at her and say, wow, what a godly woman. Even though men had desired her, no one really admired her. So you got two extremes of people. You got a guy that on the outside, it looks like he has it all together. And then you have a woman that everybody would say from the outside, her life was a mess, a mess. Nobody would say, wow, I want to be like this woman. Everybody would say, yeah, I want to be like this guy. He's pretty impressive. So question number two, it's in your notes. Which one of these two, Simon or the woman, which one of these two, according to Jesus, loved him more? You can circle one. Which one loved him more? The answer is what? Everybody together. The woman. I love the Bible. It's so different than our culture. He loves the woman more. And here's why. She loves him more than the guy. Why? Look at verse 47 again. It says, her sins, and they were many, have been forgiven. So she has shown much love. So she's just like the person in the story that Jesus told. She was like the guy that owned 500 pieces of silver. She was a woman that had a very sinful reputation. But here's the beauty. She came to Jesus Christ. And she came to Jesus and she received forgiveness for those sins. And I don't know about you, but I think she must have had a celebration inside of her heart where she just said, wow, I'm forgiven of all the things that people hold against me. People in the community look at me like some kind of lowlife. But Jesus came and he's forgiven me of all the sins, of all the wrong things that I've done. He's forgiven me. And Jesus says, as a result, she loved me more, more. Then we have Simon on the other hand. Let's not get lost here. We have Simon. Simon thought, let me try to put this the best way we can say it in church. Simon thought his armpits didn't stink. You know where I'm going with that. He was pretty self-righteous. He was deceived. He had all the outward appearances of life as looking good. He dressed right. He looked good. He had money. He did all the... I mean, he just... People would... Wow. And he totally missed Jesus. What I want to show you in this story this morning is from this story we see that there's two keys for us. Because I want us to make this a personal story this morning. There's two keys for us this morning. These are two keys that are going to help us grow in our love for God. And that is that we will grow in our love for God. Number one, please fill in the blank. When we recognize the magnitude of our sin. Who are the people that love God or working on this journey of loving God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength? Number one, those are people who they recognize something about themselves. They recognize the multitude. They recognize the magnitude of their sins. The problem is we live in a culture today where we're just a bunch of good people. We're a bunch of nice people. And to even suggest that people have sin in their life, that turns a lot of people off. But if I read my Bible correctly, we all have a problem, and that's called what? Sin. Let's look at the verse. For Mike has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Put your name in there and read that verse this morning. For all of us have sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. If there's something that we have in common today, none of us may be caught up in prostitution and the things that the world would say are really dirty. But in the sight of a holy and just God, how many people know that sin separates us from God? That sin causes God to have to look away. That sin actually says in the Bible is that we're subject to God's wrath because of our sin. I'm not saying this, so I'm just trying to repeat the Bible. Sin is a big deal. Sin hinders a relationship that we are to have with our Creator. Sin has consequences. Look at the next verse. There's consequences. Let's read this together. For the wages of sin is what? Death. He's talking about spiritual death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift, I love God, He gives us this free gift of God, is eternal life in who? Everybody say it together, Christ Jesus, our Lord. So the wages of sin is death, but we get this free gift from God, and that is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what that woman experienced that day. She received the free gift of salvation. She received the free gift of forgiveness, and she knew that she was in a sinner. So she loved Jesus much, and she became very extravagant in that love. And she took the perfume that she had worked months, maybe years for, and she said, man, I love Jesus so much. No cost is too great. And she pours the perfume on the feet of her Savior, Jesus Christ, and she begins to kiss His feet and wipe her hair, His feet with her hair. Why? Because she realized that, wow, look at what Jesus has done for me. He has taken a sinner and He has forgiven me. I have this total exchange. I'm not a sinner. Now I'm made righteous through Jesus. Amen? So the first step for us being people that are, we're going to be more in love with God, is we got to stop and recognize the magnitude of our sins. And then number two is when we recognize the immensity of God's grace. We need to understand the immensity of God's grace. So I'm not saying today that we walk around, yeah, I'm a sinner, woe is me, I'm no good, yeah, I messed up, I fell. Yeah, it's good to recognize it, but there's a second key that you got to recognize, and that is the beauty, the immensity of God's grace. How many people are thankful for God's grace? That simply by asking, Lord, will you forgive my sins? And Lord, I repent of my sins, and I turn from those sins, and I turn to Jesus Christ as the Savior of my life. He pours out His grace upon us, and God no longer sees us the way we used to be, but He sees us as a new creation in Christ. Amen? And let's look at the verse. It says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. Get it out of your head. It's not you, man. It's not about you. It's the gift of God. It's a gift. You can't work for a gift. You just have to accept a gift, not as a result of the works, so that any of us can boast. It's all about, hey, God, I'm a sinner. Yes, I've fallen short. I've been really selfish. I've been wrapped up into my own life. I've even told quite a few white lies this week. Lord, I've been really mean. I said some things this week, and this is reality. I said some things this week that they got out of my mouth, and God, oh, I blew it this week, God. And it's like trying to put toothpaste back into the tube. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Those are like words that we say. You can't put them back. But Lord, I come to you and I ask for forgiveness. So let me ask you a couple questions. We're done here this morning. Where do you stand on this issue? Do you recognize the magnitude of your sins? Do you recognize the consequences of that? Do you understand that God is holy, just, unother, like no other, not like us? He's holy, He's just. We sin, broken relationship. God's got to turn His back on sin. My prayer for us today is that, not that we beat ourselves up, I'm not into beating people up. God's not into beating people up. He's into building people up. I hope that's why we're here this morning, to build people up. But I tell you what, there's also a time where you got to recognize the cold, hard facts of life. And the cold, hard facts of life, have you recognized the magnitude of your sin? And then number two, do you recognize the immensity of God's grace, that God, by His grace, He steps out to right where you're at today, and He takes you by the hand. The moment you ask for forgiveness of sin, the moment you repent of that sin and turn to Him, He takes you by the hand. And the Bible says we become what? A new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become what? New. Are you hearing me this morning? And that is one of the degrees, that's one of the ways that we just grow in love for God, when we say, wow, God, you really did that for me. God, you really did that for me. You forgave me. You took me out of the world. You brought me into your family. God, you loved me that much that you brought me into your family. You brought me into the family. Well, now I'm not no longer a slave, but I'm a child. You love me that much. Those are the people saying, Lord, thank you. And God, in return, I love you for all that you have done for me. And God, now that I love you so much, I'll live my life the way you want me to live my life. I'll do the things you want me to do, God. I'll do it because you gave me everything. I want to give my life for you. So here's my prayer for us this morning, is we'll break the mindset of the Pharisees. Let's not be Pharisees here, but let us be like this woman who's broken because of her sin, but also in love because of the grace that God lavishes upon people who come to him for repentance. It's when that happens, something begins to happen in our heart. So if your heart is cold today and you're like, well, I'm not loving God, I'm not in that place, let's just get back to, hey, look at what God's done for me. He forgave me my sins. He set me free. He brought me into his family. He loves me. He loves me more than anyone else in this world. God loves me. Amen? So can we pray as a church family this morning? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. Lord, I just pray that we would be people who would see the reality of our lives. Lord, there's so many times I can become like a Pharisee and think, wow, look at me. I'm a pastor of a church. Whippy-doo. God, I need you. I'm a sinner. Even this week, I have had to deal with the reality of that and the reality of how much I need you, because I fall short. I fall short. I say things that may have hurt somebody, and I didn't want to hurt those people. I don't want to hurt anyone. Lord, may we just have a reality of our sinfulness apart from you. But Lord, help us not to stay there, but help us to go into this new position you have for us, and that's a position of grace. That's a position where you have newness for us. God, you have this, we're brought into your family. We are your children. And God, I just ask that you would help us here to be a people that our love for you is growing and intensifying as we begin to understand more clearly all that you have done for us. So Lord, I just pray that right now, that you do amazing work within each person. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen. Amen.